Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and today we're broadcasting from our studios at the University of Sioux Falls. We're hearing trombonist Wycliffe Gordon playing the standard I Cover the Waterfront. That's from a recent CD of his paying homage to Louis Armstrong, Hello Pops. Gordon is one of today's finest trombonists with an expressive approach. He likes to play with a wide variety of sounds and effects. And in the latest issue of Downbeat magazine, critics named him best trombone for the third consecutive year. But he also plays trumpet, tuba, and other instruments, and he sings. He's a bandleader, composer, and educator, and he's in Sioux Falls at Augustana College working with some young middle and high school musicians at the Jazz Fest Jazz Camp. And on Saturday afternoon at the Jazz Fest main stage, Wycliffe Gordon performs with the top band from Jazz Camp, and he's with us here in the studio. And Wycliffe Gordon, thanks for stopping by here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, education, that's an important part of what you do as along with your performing career?
Yes, just about everything that I do when it comes to performance will involve some type of educational component, whether it's a master class, clinic, workshop, or lecture demonstration. So whether it's for the students or just the general public, there's always some type of an educational activity attached.
Why is that?
Well, I love education, first of all, and, you know, first and foremost, and I remember how effective it was for me when clinicians would come in, whether it was the all-county band or the all-state band, just the opportunity to interact with someone that was in the profession that I, when I was in grade school, that I wanted to go into. You know, I wanted to be a musician. Of course, I had the desire to do sports, but I fell in love with music pretty early on, and getting a chance to interact with musicians and college professors and someone at that level, it made a tremendous difference in my desire to grow and develop.
Do you remember when you fell in love with music?
Well, I grew up around music in my house. My late father played classical piano, which he studied, but he performed in church. So I heard classical and gospel music growing up, and I got a chance to hear jazz around the age of 13 or 14, and I always loved music, but then I developed a great fondness for jazz about that time.
What was it about jazz?
Well, you know, being a teenager, I was into the pop music, like all teenagers, I guess, at that age. But I played in the band. I played an acoustic instrument, and most of the music we listened to had, you know, it was Moog synthesizers and light shows, electronic instruments, and I was excited about those things too. But the music that sounded like what I played and what I had was the music of Louis Armstrong. Keyhole Blues was the name of the song, and it was Louis Armstrong, Hot Fives and Sevens. And I was telling some kids today that my buddies used to, we all liked jazz, or we thought we liked jazz, but they would pick at me. They said, I like the deep jazz, because the jazz that was popular during our time was like Herb Alpert and Chuck Mangione, Rise and Feel So Good, that kind of thing.
But you went back to Louis Armstrong.
I went to Louis Armstrong, and it wasn't something that was, you know, it was just a record collection that belonged to a great aunt that had passed and bequeathed to our family, and it wound up in our house, a record player and a 5-record collection of jazz music from the early slave chants to the modern jazz of that compilation, which was like Sonny Rollins, Dizzy Gillespie, Big Band, and so on.
Today, what is it that you learned from listening to Louis Armstrong? What did he teach you, and are there certain things that that he did that you try to emulate in your career?
Well, I couldn't tell you what it was early on, but Louis Armstrong, the music of Pops always made me smile. It always made me feel good, and even if he was singing about a terrible situation or things that were caused by a terrible situation, somehow Pops made you see the bright side of it. You know, a tune like Black and Blue, which became a protest song against racism in the United States during that time, but you listen to him singing it. Even when I perform it now, it's like, you know, people love that song. It touches everyone in a way that makes them feel connected. And I think that's the thing. Even when I was 13, 14 years old, I didn't know. I liked the music. Learning about Louis Armstrong and he as a humanitarian, you know, his music, playing trumpet was just something that he did. And who he was manifested itself in the music that he made. So, and it was very or was, it still is, very infectious. There's something about the music that just, you know, I was talking with the kids earlier today, even if it's a blues, if it's about a sad situation, you know, I'll put some music on by Louis Armstrong and, you know, I could just, I feel better. It, you know, and it doesn't really matter. Like I said, even if it's about a sad situation, somehow there's a bright side to being able to, you know, exist and to, you know, live through that.
You talk about Louis Armstrong, and he was a musician, as you mentioned, who made you smile, who brought joy. He was a very serious musician who changed jazz, very important person, but there was always that entertainment factor in his music. And I'm wondering, you know, for yourself, because listening to your music and watching you perform, there's amount of joy, and even though you're also a serious musician, you don't forget to entertain the audience as well. And I'm wondering if that's something that is sometimes lost in jazz today, that people think of, oh, this is serious music, but it's fun. You know, we'll go back, you know, Louis Armstrong, people danced to this music. They smiled. It was party music.
Oh, jazz music, classical music, even all music was actually dance music. It had a social function and component to it. And yes, Louis Armstrong is a serious musician. I like to consider myself a serious musician. But entertainment, I think sometimes we have lost view of the fact that music, it should be entertaining, and that if you're entertaining folks, it doesn't mean that you're not, you know, that you're not serious about your craft. You can be serious and you can still have a good time. And Louis Armstrong was the epitome of that. So I find myself talking with students, especially on the college level, about learning how to read a room within your first two or three tunes. And, you know, you have to learn to talk to folks, because you can sit up there and work on chord changes and a sharp 9, sharp 11, flat 9. You know, people, the general public doesn't know, and not only do they not know, they really don't care. But when they leave, what did you entertain me? I mean, with all of that knowledge in mind, do you feel like you've been entertained, and that you had a conversation, and that you took part of what was happening? And every performance that I've ever seen by Louis Armstrong, he always made you feel like you were a part of what was going on stage. Yes, he was there to entertain you, but you were a part of it, and he always knew that. And that's something that I always think about. And I think I'm fortunate by listening to and checking out Louis Armstrong and watching video footage of him at an early age, or an early stage in my career, finding out the importance of being able to connect with people, and that entertainment value in your performance is so paramount in order for that to happen.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with jazz musician Wycliffe Gordon, who's working with students of the Jazz Fest Jazz Camp. He's also performing on the Jazz Fest main stage on Saturday afternoon. Talking about Louis Armstrong, one of your recent CDs, Hello Pops.
Yes.
You actually feature some of the keyhole blues and black and blue you just mentioned. Listen to a few seconds of another track that is on the CD, and we can talk a little bit about it. This is a little bit of Meatball 1-2-3. Wycliffe Gordon and a little bit of Meatball 1-2-3 from his CD Hello Pops. Now, are you playing all three instruments on that?
Yes.
That's trombone, trumpet, and a sousaphone or tuba?
Yes, so a sousaphone.
And Now, we know you as a trombone player, but you play all these other instruments as well. Did they come along later, or were you starting out playing trombone and then learning the trumpet and the other brass instruments?
Well, piano was the first instrument that I was exposed to, and trombone was the first band instrument. And I heard I watched and listened to a concert and saw a tuba. So when I was in junior high school, I wanted to take another elective band class. And so I played tuba. And when we were younger, we had friends that lived in the neighborhood. We'd carpool from band practice to football games and whatnot. And sometimes they'd leave their instruments at our house. And if you left your instrument at my house, it got played by me. So I learned, to learn to play all of the brass instruments. And, I love just making music. An instrument, once you learn the mechanics of an instrument, then you begin to make music. So how to manipulate the trumpet, what's the relationship on the trombone? There's seven positions on the trumpet, and all of the valved brass instruments are seven fingering combinations. So once I kind of figured that out, I was like, oh, okay. I love to make music on the brass instrument, yeah, drums, bass, and any instrument I would kind of get my hands on, I'd kind of pick at it or play it or practice it until I would get it. So this tune, Meatball 1-2-3, was an opportunity, something I decided to do at the last minute. And I don't know, I was in my dressing room one night playing the trumpet, and I was thinking about meatballs or something, like Pops had a lot of tunes named after food, like Potato Head Blues or Strutting with Some Barbecue. And I was just like, wow. And I was playing my trumpet in the dressing room. I said, I'm going to make that into a blues. And I said, rather than playing it with the band, I'll play trombone and tuba with it. And so I just wrote out a sketch, and I went into the studio, and I said, I'm going to put down a tuba part first, and did some overdubbing, and just thought I would do something that would be fun. I like to do that from time to time.
Your ability to play these different instruments, I'm wondering how that helps you as a band leader, as an arranger, and mm-hmm. as a composer. I know you have a big band CD coming out here soon.
Yes. Well, it's you become intimate with the instruments. I mean, if you're going to college to study music, at least at most universities, you have to understand something about the techniques. So even if you're a brass player, you have to take woodwind techniques, you have to take brass techniques, you have to take string techniques and percussion techniques classes, so that you can become familiar with the mechanics of playing the instrument and things like the range, the different fingerings, and it just helped me to become informed. Only thing is, in college, you may do that for a semester. You may spend a semester on each instrument. Playing the instruments over and over gives me a more intimate view into the, how I can use the instrument when arranging or composing. And, sitting down to the piano, understanding the bass, it helps me. Playing the bass helps me to understand playing bass lines. Piano is the instrument that helped me understand pretty much everything about music when you talk about music theory, melody, harmony, and even rhythm so much. Playing the drum set, that was the instrument I always wanted as a kid, and my mom said, no, absolutely not. But sitting down to play the drum set, it helps me to understand the coordination that it takes to play the drums or to play the drum set, but it also helps me to listen to the instrument and what to listen for. It just gives me an insight to the music that I want to create. So when I'm trying to explore my voice when arranging or composing, I have an insight through trying to play those instruments. And, I did woodwinds, even though I don't play them on gigs anymore, but I played clarinet and bassoon. So I have an understanding of the timbre of the instrument, and it helps me to compose.
Well, Wycliffe Gordon, we only have about a minute left here. We've been talking about you working with young musicians at the Jazz Camp as a part of Jazz Fest this week. Working with the young students, do you see that there's still an enthusiasm for jazz, and that some of these young students are perhaps getting turned on by Louis Armstrong and other musicians just like you were when you were coming up?
Yes. I mean, I see it even more so now. There are camps and there are opportunities with the implementation of jazz studies programs at quite a few of the colleges and universities across the board in the United States. It's it makes a very promising statement that the future of jazz is going to be, you know, it's in good hands, because it's something I always felt that should have been in the educational institutions, you know, as a part of a music degree. And it, even if you don't major in jazz, that you should at least have exposure to it, because when you graduate and you have a band, you're going to have a, if you have a football team, you're going to have a marching band. You're probably going to have a concert band. Nine times out of ten, basketball team, you're going to have a pep band. Most schools will have a jazz band. And if you learn and you work in every ensemble except the jazz ensemble, it's, again, difficult to develop a sense of how the music works, how to swing, how to get a jazz band to play together, because certain elements in music and pedagogy is across the board, but jazz is it's its own language. It's like we can read a book on how to speak French, but until you actually speak French or Spanish with the proper inflections, you know, you could, you know, do everything from mispronounced words. And I mean, you know what I'm saying. So I think that the future of jazz is in the great hands, and these students here, they're doing a marvelous job. They're enthusiastic about it, and I see that across the board.
All right. Well, Wycliffe Gordon, thanks so much for stopping by and joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having me.
Trombonist Wycliffe Gordon is working with young musicians at Augustana College during Jazz Fest Jazz Camp. He's performing with the top band from Jazz Camp Saturday afternoon at 1:30 on the main stage at Jazz Fest. And Jazz Fest kicks off this evening at Yankton Trail Park in Sioux Falls. Music continues through Saturday. And for more information and a full schedule of performers and events, you can visit online Sioux Falls Jazz Fest.com.